by the wayside. You know, the side of the road that's been trampled down and smashed, and it is so hard. It's hard. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying that there are some soil, some hearts that are so hard against the gospel, so hard against the good news. It's hard. It's solid, just like this pulpit. You know, I remember as a young person, my dad would take me out ice fishing. Now, I know that's going to be hard for you guys to understand, right? Do you know what ice fishing is? Yeah. But here in Arizona, you have to go a little bit higher elevation to find ice that's hard enough. But out there in South Dakota, it gets so hard. In fact, sometimes it gets to be over 3 feet deep, the ice. And when that happens, we would take our truck and we would drive out on the lake. We would drive on that ice and we would cut a hole in the ground, in the ice, and we would stick our little hook down there and catch the fish. Sometimes, every once in a while, I would get a little bored. I was just a little boy. And so I'd grab my other fishing pole and I would cast it out there as far as I could on the ice, and it would go tick, 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 tink, tingle, and I would start drawing it in. But you know, no matter how many times I did that, I would never catch a fish, because the hook wasn't down there where the fish are. That ice is hard. You got to get it down there where the fish are. And it's the same thing with the gospel. When the heart is hard and they rebel against the truth, they don't listen to what God's word has to say. Oh, the hardened heart. That heart that's so hard. And you see it in the world today, don't we? We see hearts that are so hard, not willing to listen, not willing to heed God's word, not willing to respond to what God's word has to say. Their hearts are so hard, and we weep over them. We want them to understand, and we want to share with them the good news, but their hearts are so hard. I hope today that there's no one that has a hardened heart. A hardened heart to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. A hardened heart to his desire for you to serve him and to live for you and to live for him, that God might be glorified in all that we do. The hardened heart. I can just see Jesus with a tender heart, desiring to reach those who have such a hardened heart that they're just not willing to listen, not willing to heed what God's word has to say. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell on the wayside. And the fowls of the air came and devoured it. Just came and ate up all the seed where it didn't germinate. It didn't grow. There was no fruit. There was nothing changed. The heart is just hard, just like the soil, just like this pulpit, just like frozen ice in the tundra. No hope. No desire to listen to what God's word has to say. Oh, to pray for America. It sure seems like America's heart has become hardened. No desire of spiritual things, even a desire to close our churches in America today. That is so sad. So sad that America has turned their back upon God. Just like this sower who has sown, but yet it just falls on hardened ground. The hardened heart. But not only did Jesus introduce his listeners to the hardened heart, but he also introduced them to the shallow heart. Look here in verse 5. And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell. So it just withers away. And then look at verse 16. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately received it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time afterward when afflictions or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. One thing we want to take note is this is not talking about somebody losing their salvation. Because once we're saved, we're always saved. This is not a picture of one losing one's salvation. But what it is a picture of a one who has a shallow heart. He accepts it. He says, well, I'll try it for a season. But then when struggles and trials and temptations come about and something terrible happens, they choose to walk away. They choose to ignore trials, temptations, tribulation, persecution, stumbling, and they choose to walk away from what God has. This is the shallow heart. Not willing to grow spiritually. Not willing to flourish in what God has done for them. In other words, they say, I'll try it for a season. But if it doesn't work out, I know it's not right. Oh, you don't just try the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't just say, well, I'll try it for a season. No, he's your whole life. He is the one in whom we put our faith and our trust and trust in him. But not only does the Savior, first of all, share with us about the hardened heart. And oh, we see that in the world today. He also introduces us to the shallow heart, the one that is so shallow that he chooses just to try it and not to step out by faith and accept what Christ has done for him. But then there's also the crowded heart. The crowded heart. This one is found in verse 7. And some fell among thorns. And the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. I call this the crowded heart. Too many things in this world that gets in the way. Look at verse 18. It shares with us this. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. This is what I call the crowded heart. The things of this world, there's so many things going on that the things of God are not important. The crowded heart. The things of this world that keep us from the house of God. The things of this world that keep us from doing the things that we should do. The things of this world that just, we get so busy. And the things of this world just keep us so involved in things that we shouldn't be involved in. And it just crowds out the things that are important. Oh, I think of so many things in this world today that get in the way of being where God wants us to be in God's house. You know, things like baseball and softball, basketball, football, the things that young people get involved in, and they're so involved in those things in the community that church isn't important. I don't want to be in the house of God because I want to play football, or I want to be involved in sports, movies. Different things that I'd rather be watching TV at home than being in the house of God. A crowded heart. So many things in this world that we get so busy with, the things of God become second place. Instead of being where we need to be, the crowded heart. Oh, so many people are involved in things of this world and they think, well, I'll get right with God later. I'll do that later. That is something that I'd rather do some other time. Instead of being where God wants me to be, the crowded heart. But not only did Jesus introduce us to the hard heart, that heart that's so hard, not willing to listen, and rejects and walks away from the things of God, but he also introduces us to the shallow heart, the heart that's so shallow that when trials and struggles come about, we falter and fall away. And then there's the crowded heart. That heart that is so busy with the things of this world that the things of God take second place. Not interested in what God has for us and chooses to reject the truth. But then he also introduces us, and this is the excited part, the productive heart. Look at verse 8 of Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 and verse 8 says this. And other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. The good heart, the fruitful heart. Look at verse 20. Verse 20 says this, and there are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. oh, how exciting to hear someone who hears the word of God and who has a soft heart, willing to listen and to respond to God's word. I remember a number of years ago, I had the opportunity to speak at a camp, or rather a church here just north of Casa Grande. It was in the reservation, and they had a building where all the kids in that area would come, and I had the privilege of preaching for a week. On Monday night, there was a young man by the name of Sunshine. He came there to the service, and he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. On Tuesday night, he came back, and he brought a friend. And that night, his friend came to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. He came back on Wednesday night, brought another friend. And that night, his friend again accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Same thing happened Thursday night. A fruitful heart. A heart that loves the Lord. A heart that says, I want others to know about the change that took place in my life. The fruitful heart. Oh, there are many people in the world today who have a hardened heart, who have a crowded heart, who have a shallow heart. But how exciting it is to see someone that has a fruitful heart, a heart that's willing to listen and to heed God's word. I had the opportunity to go to the Fiji Islands. And there in the Fiji Islands, a man came forward and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Later on, my wife told me that he was a drug lord and that the Lord had changed his life. Something unique, a life that's been changed, a life that sees the truth of God's word and accepts it personally, believing what God's word has to say, that it is true. Oh, don't we see in the world today all these hearts that Christ has shared with us in a parable? The truth that, yes, there are people today who have hardened hearts. We see it all around us. Right here in Florence, people that aren't willing to go to church. Why are you going to church? Why are you going there? What's important about that? Oh, because it is important. It's important because yeah, there are many people who have hardened hearts. And oh, how we should pray for those who are lost, condemned, and headed for hell. Not only the hardened heart, but that shallow heart. That shallow heart that is so shallow that it gets all choked up because the hope that they have is not in Christ. The hope they have is just a dream that says, I'll try it, and if it doesn't work, I knew it was bad. No, we shouldn't just try it. The truth of God's word, we need to cling to and realize that Christ is who he claims to be, that he is the Son of God, that we can trust in him and believe his word to be true. Wow, Jesus not only shares about the shallow heart, but also about the crowded heart. Oh, we don't want to have a crowded heart. A heart that is so filled with the activities of this world that the things of God take second place. Not important. Not something we're interested in, but rather to share with others the hope that we have. But then last of all, the productive heart. Oh, it's exciting to see a heart that's willing to listen and to heed what God's word has to say. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word of God tonight and for the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray if there's one here that's not saved, one here who's never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe it's because they have a hardened heart, or maybe they have a shallow heart, or even a crowded heart. I pray for those who are listening on the internet, that Father, that they will listen to what God's word has to say, that they will consider their own hearts before you, that they'll realize that our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves us so much, and he shared through a parable the hearts that are so hardened, the hearts that are so shallow and so crowded. Father, help us not to have a crowded heart, a hardened heart, a shallow heart, but a heart that's fruitful, willing to heed, willing to listen to what God's word has to say. Use these words tonight in our hearts that we might serve you and live for you throughout this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Kevin, you lead us in a hymn. In closing, looks like I've closed just a little bit early, but I got the pulpit early too. So, yeah.
Well, it's open if y'all want to come up and
yes.
Pray. Please stand and turn with me to hymn 164.
Room at the Cross.
Room at the Cross.
Yes. There he is.
There's room up here if you want to pray. All three verses. The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide. And its grace so free is sufficient for me, and deep is its fountains as wide as the sea. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Verse 2. Though millions have found him a friend and have turned from the sins they have sinned, the Savior still waits to open the gates and welcome a sinner before it's too late. There's room at the cross for you. Amen. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. On the last. The hand of my Savior is strong, and the love of my Savior is long. Through sunshine or rain, through loss or in gain, the blood flows from Calvary to cleanse every stain. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Amen.
Close in prayer. I hope that you will have a wonderful, fruitful week. Another week here starting off in December and all the wonderful things taking place during Christmas. Oh, that we might share with the world the reason for the season. Yes, let the world know it's not Santa Claus. It's not all those neat stories, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. It's rather the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason for the season. That's why Christ came, that we might have life. And we need to share with the world. You know, there are some Christians today, they don't celebrate Christmas at all. They think it is so commercialized. I don't want the world to think that's what I believe. But let's turn that around. Let's turn it around. Let's share with the world the real reason for the season, the real reason why we celebrate Christmas. That gift that we give to our loved one is in remembrance to the gift that God has given to us. It's a free gift, and all we have to do is reach out and take it. That's what we need to share with the world today, that there is a reason for this season. There is a reason for Christmas, and the reason for Christmas is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight, this opportunity to worship you, to sing praises to your name, and to remember the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that it will challenge our hearts tonight to share with the world around us that there is hope and that we shouldn't have a hardened heart. Don't refuse to believe what Jesus Christ has done. There's really a reason for the season. Jesus did come. We remember it every time we write down the date. We remember the fact that our Savior came, that he came to this world, that he had a ministry for 3 years, and that he died on the cross for our sin. Oh, Father, I pray that we'll be able to share with friends and loved ones
why we celebrate this season, why we remember Christmas, why it is so important, it's because of our Savior who loved us so much, Emmanuel, God with us. Father, I pray that you'll bless each one of us as we head to our different homes. Use us this week. I pray that this week will be very fruitful, an opportunity to serve you and to live for you. And, oh, Father, we just pray that your hand will be on America and all that's taken place. Our hearts grieve, but we know that you have a plan. And, oh, Father, we look forward to see what it is. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You are dismissed. Remember, I have prayer cards in the back if you like one.